Thank you for joining CCSI's .tech series, episode number 2, titled Cloud Basics, What's in it for me? So I'm your host, Larry Biancoli, here at CCSI, and with me today, I am thrilled to introduce our Senior Cloud Practices Manager, Joe Goldberg. Joe has many, many years of experience with the cloud and is going to provide 10 minutes of authoritative instruction on the cloud. We'll explain a lot of the stuff that may be a mystery to the listeners. So this podcast will touch on the basics of cloud, as I mentioned, and how it will benefit your organization. So we've all heard cloud. We hear our grandmothers talking about mentioning cloud these days, although I bet my grandmother thinks that it's still that cumulus white puff, but doesn't understand quite how the data gets there. But statistics on the cloud. Now, cloud's only been around for a short period of time in the big scheme of things, but the growth of cloud over the last several years, if you go back between the last 5 and 10 years, it's astronomical. We've seen cloud, you can almost use the word tsunami in the same conversation with cloud. It's changed the way people work, live, and play. Growth behind it has been significant. For instance, within the last 10 years, we've seen almost 46% of year-over-year growth when it comes to cloud. Now, that's a very loose term, and we're going to define exactly, you know, the definition of cloud and the different silos of technology that fall within the cloud. But these are some of the reasons why businesses either are considering cloud, using cloud, or should be considering cloud. So, Joe, how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you.
That's great, Joe. So let's start off with the basics. Can you share with the listeners some basic terms we should all know when referring to the cloud?
Well, probably the first and most important term is actually cloud computing. What does cloud computing mean to you when you hear somebody talking about it?
Well, you know, when I hear people refer to cloud computing, it's usually being used in the wrong way. But mostly it's, I uploaded that document to the cloud, or guess what, it's in the cloud.
Exactly. It's the cloud refers to a group of shared resources that exists to allow people to maximize their investment in their compute. It's kind of like a shared pool. There are really three types of clouds. There's a public, private, and hybrid cloud. Public cloud is kind of like is AWS or Azure. The private cloud would be something that you have in your own data center. And the hybrid cloud is kind of in between. It's people who use both public and private cloud and have them connected together to talk.
So if we wanted to, Joe, just put a little more definition around it, right? So we define that there's a public cloud, there's a private cloud, and then a hybrid cloud, right? And I'm sure there's other iterations that we won't get into today. But we also hear that same, when that same breath of it's in the cloud, we also hear that same breath of as a service. Can you define what that means at a very high level?
Everything in the cloud is broken up into a utility-type model. So it's sold as a service, and you basically pay for what you consume. So if I consume 10 virtual machines and a terabyte of storage, that's what I pay for. If next month I only consume one virtual machine and 100 gig of storage, I'm only going to pay for that. And that's really where the advantage of the cloud is, because you're only paying for what you're using, and it gives you a much more predictable monthly expense.
So I can definitely see that as a benefit, right? And whether it be public cloud or private cloud or hybrid cloud, it seems to be, you know, both a technology advantage and a cost advantage. Can we provide a little bit more of the pros and the cons around that?
Definitely on the public side, bring your expenses to an operational expense from a capital expense. Your CFO will love you for that, because you'll now no longer be going to him and saying, hey, I need $1 million to upgrade my storage and my compute. You'll be saying, hey, I need to add 5 extra virtual machines, and it's going to cost me an extra $100 a month. Mm. And as a CFO, you're going to like that predictable bill that you're going to get every month, no big hits to your bottom line. And as a technologist, you now are able to concentrate on the technology and delivering technology, rather than worrying about how you're going to fit stuff into a particular budget and spending hours budgeting and trying to predict what I'm going to need next week, next month, next year.
Right. No, it makes total sense, although I'm not quite sure if any of the CFOs I've worked with in the past will ever like me. But I think they might like me a little bit if I'm able to deliver a little more predictability to them. So we're saying that you can do that with cloud, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You can break your bill up and control your expenses in a much more reasonable way.
So you mentioned something, Joe, that was interesting, and that was around the topic of utility model, right? So if we were to just expand on that a little bit more, right? So if we use the utility model, I think right away of my electric bill, right? So if I'm a business now, rather than having to, you know, define a project and have a large capital outlay to define that project by using the utility model idea, I'm only using my electricity when I plug my hairdryer in. Does the same idea work here?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you have a virtual machine and it's turned on, you're paying for it. If you turn it off, you're not paying for it. You're only paying for the storage that you actually consume. So if I build a 100 gig drive, I'm paying for a 100 gig drive. If all of a sudden I need a 20 gig drive instead of a 100 gig, I'm now only paying for 20 gig rather than 100.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What, how does it work in the retail sector where, you know, they get into the holiday season and if I'm paying for like 30 servers of usage with those 30 servers, now all of a sudden holidays come and now I need 100 servers. Can I work those metrics into the calculation?
Absolutely. Within the cloud, you can build auto scaling groups. You can set up rules based on utilization. So once I cross a threshold and my utilization goes above a certain point, I will now spin up another server. And it crosses again, I'll spin up another server. And then when the utilization drops below a certain point, I'll destroy a server. If it keeps going down, I'll destroy another server. And that way, I always have just the right amount of capacity, and I'm only paying for what I use. So if I were to build out, if I were a retail establishment, I were to build out to control, to meet my Christmas demand, I might have to build out 100 servers internally and go buy them. 80 of them are going to sit idle for most of the year, and at Christmas, I'll be at 110% of capacity. Whereas if I use the cloud, I'm only paying for 10 servers throughout the year, and I can go to 100 servers automatically and slowly scale up as I need it in the cloud. And then when I get to that 100 servers, you know what? If I need the 101st or the 102nd, I can do that.
It really is an opportunity for the CFO to start the line.
It really is.
Well, you know, there's a lot, obviously, more we can dive into, but where do you see cloud going? Again, it's a newer technology in the scheme of things. So, you know, where do you see it going, and how do you see businesses embracing it more and more?
I think businesses are going to be moving more and more workloads to the cloud as they become comfortable with its both reliability and security. And it's going to allow them to control their expenses better and focus on their business and focus on what they do. Allow their technologists to focus on the technology to make them more efficient rather than spending their time budgeting and worrying about things like HVAC.
Yeah, and so things like a problem of billing disappears, a business loses their data, they can leverage the cloud too.
Absolutely, they can do disaster recovery in the cloud. And the cloud is a great equalizer when it comes to disaster recovery. Is now small businesses can have the same DR strategy as a huge enterprise. Whereas a huge enterprise has a redundant site, a small business can now have a redundant site as well, except their redundant site is in the cloud. So they're just paying for the storage they're using to store their snapshots. And then in the case of a disaster, they spin up the servers, they pay for the servers while they're in use. Once their data center is recovered, they spin those servers back down, and they're no longer paying for it.
Very interesting. So, you know, we have the ability to provide disaster recovery as a service, and I'm sure there's other things we can define as a service, things like backup as a service and so forth. I would think that would probably be a topic for another conversation. I did read something about ransomware, which seems to be so off topic, though, when we talk about cloud. How does ransomware fall into this?
Disaster recovery is actually a great solution for ransomware should it actually make it through your myriad defenses. Because with disaster recovery as a service, you're keeping multiple snapshots of your data up in the cloud. Should you get hit with a ransomware attack, you can roll back to a previous snapshot from before you were hit with the ransomware attack, be up and running, and you're good to go. And then you can recover your own data center in your own time, replicate the Delta data back, and you're back up and running.
And not have to pay the ransom that's associated with the ransomware.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
One ransomware attack should pay for it. Probably several years of disaster recovery as a service.
Genius. Okay, Joe, so I think we've gone far enough for today. And now that you're talking about a time machine, we'll stop there.
Well, it's not really a time machine per se, but it's a great way to get your server back.
Wow, now we're talking about zombie servers too, huh? Zombie computers. That's where I'm going to cut you off, Joe. So what we went over on this discussion was the basics of cloud and actually defined, you know, the different types, public, private, and hybrid. We mentioned the benefits of cloud, lower upfront cost, pay for what you use, and anywhere access. Plus, users can even share how it can become a time machine now. Thank you, Joe, for being here today and sharing the basics of cloud to our listeners and how it can benefit everybody. If you would like to learn more about CCSI Cloud Solutions or other CCSI services, please visit our website at www.ccsinet.com. And you can also follow CCSI on Twitter using @CCSINet. For more great technical articles, we have a wealth of information, not just pertaining to cloud, but security, virtualization, and a whole plethora of other technologies of interest. So stay tuned for our next CCSI Got Tech episode. That will be posted in the very near future. So again, this is Larry Biancoli with CCSI, signing off.